You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Acts chapter 4. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple, the Sadducees came upon them. And being grieved that they had taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed. The number of the men was about 5,000. It came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes, and Ananias the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, or what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, but there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. They took knowledge of him that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing by them, they could say nothing against it. When they had commanded them to set aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Judge you. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voices to God with one accord and said, "Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, Why do the heathen rage? The people imagine a vain thing. The kings of earth stood up. The rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against the holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod, Pontius Pilate, and the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the holy child Jesus." When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And great power gave the apostle witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace is upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them, brought the price of the things which were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, by the apostles was certainly named Barnabas, which is being interpreted, son of consolation, a Levite, the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought it, the money, and laid it at the feet of the apostles. And now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this, his holy word, and this grace for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we ask it. Amen. Father God, as usual, we're a needy people, and we want to pause at the outset, not only to acknowledge this, but to look to you now for the grace that will be needed to accomplish your purposes here this morning, right now. Thus, we pray for your cleansing as you sanctify us to your purpose, in order that your energy might be moving in a way that every heart here would be cognizant of your presence. Rebuke the evil one now. Nothing hinders, and may your great Son be honored in this. His grace is not for our worth, but for Christ Jesus' sake, and in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, since we've been away a couple of weeks, we need to pull our thinking together a little bit. You'll recall that in the first three chapters that we've seen a record of our Lord teaching the apostles concerning the things of the kingdom for 40 days prior to his ascension, after the resurrection. Not only did he teach them concerning the kingdom, but it says he opened up their eyes of their understanding. So the things that they did were not a matter of just human opinion, but were, as the scripture says, they were all filled or controlled of the Holy Spirit. It's very important to remember that. But no book in the Bible is recalled to our attention so many times throughout the book of Acts that the things that these men did and said were under the control of the Holy Spirit. That's very vital. As many people, so-called theologians, tell us of the mistakes of the apostles. If the apostles made a mistake, it is because they were under the control of the Holy Spirit. So that's a pretty hard charge to make. Now, last week we saw in the ministry of Peter, the temple beautiful, a man impotent from his birth, 40 years of age, healed in a miraculous way and assigned to Israel. And as he preached to them, he said, "Repent and be converted, in order that your sins may be blotted out, and the times of refreshment shall come from the presence of the Lord. You shall send Jesus Christ, who was promised unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of the restoration." These are very important sermons to remember because they create confusion today, inasmuch as Christendom in the main accepts this as the beginning of the church as we know it today. This is a far cry from reality, because God was dealing with the nation of Israel here in response to our Lord's prayer on Calvary when he said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." This is why Peter, after being taught for 40 days after the resurrection concerning the kingdom, asked the question, "Will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" That was what was in the prospect. And the promise was then, not 2,000 years away. Note again carefully. "Repent and be converted, in order that your sins may be blotted out. In the times of refreshment shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ back, whom all the prophets have foretold, and the heavens must receive until the restoration." Had you been a Jew in that crowd that day, and you can see the response as we are beginning our lesson today, 5,000 men responded to that. That's the greatest number recorded in all history of a conversion of one time. We don't know how many women and children were there, but if we allow as many women and children as there were men, we have 15,000 people converted at this particular meeting. That's a pretty good sized people. You can imagine the encouragement of the apostles in the light of the question to ask, "Will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" And particularly in the light of the fact that Jesus, that Paul had mentioned in chapter 3, that all the prophecies concerning the suffering Messiah had been fulfilled. The only thing that lie ahead was the glories that was to follow. And he knew nothing about the prophetic time, the hidden time in which we live, which is not the subject matter of the prophets. He knew nothing about that. So that everything that Peter said to them was then and now, not 2,000 years away. It all turned on Israel's response or rejection. Note again, repent and be converted. The church applies that to themselves, you see. But we're not looking for the kingdom. We've been called and raised and seated together where? In the super heavens. The kingdom's an earthly thing, beloved. It'll be down here on this planet. And this is what was in the prospect there. And for 33 years throughout the book of Acts, that nation, God had poured out his spirit upon them in a marvelous way. His kingdom signs were in evidence everywhere. There was no question about healing or anything of that nature. If a man had a need, it was met, just like that. What makes no difference what the need was. If it was a need, it was met. This was the government of God in its actions. Notice, if you will, in chapter 4 of Mark. Jesus promised this. Mark 4, verse 26. And might help you a little bit in this too, to remember that a kingdom simply means government, that's all. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, the government of God, as if a man should cast seed in the ground, should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow up, he knows not how. For the earth brings forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn of the ear, then the fruit, and last, the harvest. Five things. Now, the evidence of that government was in effect all through the book of Acts. Hence, you see his government active everywhere you turn among his people. That's who he was governing. The marvel of this healing at the temple had arrested the nation's attention. They realized that they were guilty of having slain their Messiah, along with the Gentiles. And Peter is calling attention to that fact in this here, as he addresses these people. When they said, by what power and by what name did you perform this miracle? And so he tells them, by what name and by what power? Well, there's none other name, he just said, given among men whereby we must be saved, except the name of Jesus. Then he really throws it at them. Notice in verse 12. There's salvation in another name whereby we must be saved. And verse 11 is a quote from the Old Testament. This is the stone, speaking of Jesus, which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Now, to appreciate that statement, you have to be one of the elders of Israel. That's who he was talking to. And Matthew 23 says, the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Whatsoever they command you to do, do. Observe not their doings, but what they say, because they sit in the seat of authority. They were supposedly the builders. And the very builders themselves were the one who were rejecting the stone the building was built upon. That's what he's accusing them. They understood that. And they observe one thing about these men. Academically, they were ignorant. But they observed another thing. They'd been with Jesus. That's what was important. And all their rationale could not do away with that which had happened. Note carefully that when they could not meet there, it says in verse 15, verse 14 says they could say nothing against it. In verse 15, it said they command them to set aside the council and they confer it among themselves. If you can get into the spirit of the thing, just listen and hear what's going on. What are we going to do about this matter? Notice their own testimony. Listen carefully. What should we do to these men? But indeed, a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem. And what? We can't deny it. That fellow had been sitting at that temple gate for 40 years. Everybody in Jerusalem knew him. He was a beggar. He was a cripple. No cripple was allowed in the temple at all. They couldn't miss him. And here he is, leaping around and glorifying God. They couldn't deny it. It was real. Times have not changed very much today. Still the same thing. This is the greatest evidence in the world of that is this. That today, everybody talking about going back to Pentecost. Well, Pentecost really has very little to do with us. It was the pouring out of the Spirit and the promise of God to Israel. The time in which we live, Paul says, was hidden. Not the subject matter of the prophets at all. He calls it a mystery, a secret. Everything here is happening was a fulfillment of prophecy. Every bit of it. And this is why today we have so much confusion. Can you imagine today, supposing the conclusion of the service, I said to you, now in keeping with the scripture, any of you have property, I want you to go out and sell it and bring it all in here next week so that we can pass it out and everybody has everything alike. You wouldn't, they'd tar and feather the preacher, that's what they'd do. And we're laughing about that. And yet, everybody's talking about going back to this time. You see? They ignore the context entirely. This is where all our divisions in Christendom arrive. It's because Christendom begins everything in Acts 2. When you come to the prison letters of Paul, you find out the time in which we live is a parenthesis. Was never made known. It was hidden in God from before the foundation of the world. Everything here just was well known. Peter was not speaking about things that they didn't know about. Things that they were well acquainted with. In fact, there's not a single Gentile even addressed anywhere in the New Testament until you get to the 10th chapter of Acts. And then Peter apologizes for that. First thing he said to him, you know how it's unlawful for me, being a Jew, to come under one of another nation. We kind of forget these things, and yet they're there so clearly. You can see that the kingdom of God, its government, was in focus here. In what form? Remember, five forms. First, the what? The blade. The kingdom was suspended. At Acts 28, when Paul arrived at Rome. The words are clear. Listen carefully again. I know you've heard this from me so many times. I hope it burns and you never forget it. When Paul arrived at Rome, he said, for the hope of Israel am I in this chain. He preached to them from early morning to late at night, from the law and the prophets. Notice, he never went beyond the Old Testament. Concerning the kingdom. He says they could not agree among themselves. That's the elders of Israel. At that point in time, he quoted the 6th chapter of Isaiah to them. You have eyes to see whether you will not see. You have ears to hear whether you will not hear. Therefore, be it known unto you, this salvation is now authorized to the Gentiles. And the first letter that Paul wrote after that statement is the Ephesian letter. I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, not for the hope of Israel, but for you Gentiles. If you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, It was given unto me, not the 12 apostles, how by revelation he made known to me this mystery, this great secret. And as down in verse 9 says, it was hidden in God from the beginning of the ages, not hidden in the scriptures. A brand new revelation. And in spite of these plain, forthright statements, we still have people preaching the kingdom. They want to add to the kingdom. The kingdom is the promises to Israel, beloved. We have a whole new set of promises. It's amazing how God, in His marvelous grace, men get saved by the thousands, and all they learn about, all their promises, all their hopes are based upon those things were promised to Israel. Those are not our promises. They do this in spite of the fact it's written, "Thou shalt not steal." We've been stealing from the storehouse of God long enough. And it's really shows that people just don't pay any attention to what's said. The blade form was here. Every evidence is here. You know, if this is the church, the true church as we know it today, then let me say to you, honestly, every one of you is a bankrupt Christian because you do not have the faith to exercise the things that were done here. Our faith is poverty. We don't have any. We do not see the things that are recorded here taking place. And the reason why is because God's government is not in function. This is man's day. If you doubt it, just listen to the controversy on the news. Man's government and what a mess he's making of it. I don't mean to imply that God has abdicated, but he has appointed human government in our time. Simply because men are disobedient to that, and they will pay for that. They have a stewardship too, you know. That doesn't excuse us in the least. We have a stewardship too. We're to make all of God's people see what is the fellowship or the dispensation of this sacred secret that God revealed to the Apostle Paul. And that we have not done. To say the least, Christendom in the main has been pretty faithful in the fact that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, giving the plan of salvation. They've done a pretty fair job at that. But other than that, they failed completely. The average saint knows nothing about the sacred secret given to the Apostle Paul for our admonition. And that's a sad commentary. And that's the reason we have so many different divisions today, because they ignore the fact that the book of Acts is addressed to the nation of Israel. The Gentiles were simply brought in, as we read in Romans, to provoke Israel to jealousy. And that's all. And we're not even doing that anymore. We do not go to the synagogue. Everywhere that the Apostle Paul went, and he's the one who carried it to the utmost part, the first place he went was a synagogue. He never went anywhere else until there. It was the converts out of the synagogues that the early church began with. We forget that. See? And then when Paul got the mystery, they turned and rejected him. That's the amazing thing about it. It hadn't changed a bit. Well, our time's about gone, but I want you to see just a few little other things. There were two reactions to the ministry, as there always is. First, the greatest ingathering in numbers recorded in the Bible, 5,000 men. I don't know how many women and children. Then the reaction of the professional world. Not many wise, not many noble are called. God has chosen the foolish things in this world. And changed a bit, see, same thing. The reaction's two ways. To the common man, ignorant and unlearned, that's Peter. You can reach his heart. But if he's too smart, it's pretty hard to get to him. That's terror. It doesn't mean that none. Thank God there are some. But very few. But I want you to see their reaction. Back to verse 23. It says, being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And then they began to complain. No, they didn't. They lift up their voice, God, with one accord. Thou hast made the heaven and earth, the sea and all the earth. And they quote then from the second psalm, which was precursory. It'll have its final fulfillment in the future. And he said, of a truth, they've done everything that the scripture said they would. Verse 27. This according to your determined counsel, verse 28. And now they're threatening us. But what we want you to do, Lord, is to confirm your promises of Mark 16. See, verse 30. By stretching forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled. The building was shaken. We don't hear any buildings being shaken around today. And they were all controlled of the Holy Spirit. Again, as I say, over and over again throughout this book, you'll find that phrase. They were all filled or controlled of the Holy Spirit. See? You won't find any book in the Bible that says that so many times like the book of Acts. So it's careful. God is very careful to record it so that those people who charge the apostles with mistakes are really charging God with mistakes, because everything they did was under his control. I heard a famous preacher preach on the first chapter of Acts. He said Peter made a mistake when they accepted Matthias as a 12th apostle. Another preacher preaching on the second chapter of Acts said concerning what Peter quoted on the day of Pentecost, this is that which was spoken in the prophet Joel. Peter shouldn't have quoted that. Those things didn't happen. These are not little men, these are big names. I won't even name them because I'm not going to pick on anybody in particular, but I can pick on a lot of them. But the thing about it is, you see, they ignore what God says. That's our problem. That's why we're in such confusion. But the place was shaken, and the multitude of them believed with one heart and one soul. Now that's a miracle. Keep in mind how many people we're talking about. We can't get three people to agree today. Here, they got thousands. And there wasn't anybody that lacked anything. Notice, give that verse that neither was there any among them that lacked. Anything, in other words, anybody had a need, God was ready to meet it. That's what it'll be like on this planet here when God's government is active here on this planet. Every man who has a righteous need to be met, whether it's financially, physically, mentally, whatever it may be, God will meet it. He meets every need. It'll be a wonderful time to be in. Ours is even more wonderful. That's the thing about it. Well, our time is gone. Let's pick it up there next week and show that all this wonderful thing is happening. The devil is pretty busy too. We'll see the contrast of that next week. Father, we do thank you for the word and this fellowship. And we pray now that the Holy Spirit will continue his work in our hearts, to burn these truths into our personalities and to remind us, too, of our obligation concerning the Gideons as Tom puts forth the basket here to receive the things that will be needful in that. Thank you for attending this, Father, because we ask these graces in the name for the sake of Christ Jesus. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.